Welcome to the Cardinals Red Sea Report.
Deep pass, right side, end zone, it's caught!
Presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
It's a touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown by John Brown. It's intercepted by Peterson in midfield.
Oh, baby!
And the Cardinals are going to win the game.
How's that feel?
Here's Craig Grealou, the Jetstream Roy Green, and Bertrand Berry.
Well, hard to believe, but in a little over 48 hours, your Arizona Cardinals are going to be playing football. That's right, the Hall of Fame game on Thursday in Canton, as the Cardinals take on the Dallas Cowboys at 5 p.m. Craig Grealou, Roy Green, Bertrand Berry coming to you from Cardinals training camp once again this week from University of Phoenix Stadium. It's all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. We'll get into more of the game and what we've seen so far in training camp. But right off the top, joined by a special guest, the Cardinals starting right guard, Evan Boehm, joining us here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Evan, appreciate you.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, fresh off the practice field, I know the schedule got flipped on you guys on Monday. We all heard the coach's comments.
He was not happy.
So the follow-up is, how did things go earlier today?
I think they went a lot better. I think they went a lot better today. We didn't have to run, so I think we take that as a plus, especially as an offensive lineman. We don't like to run those type of stuff.
So, first of all, let me just say, you've definitely moved up in my book because you came in smelling good, brother. You know, anytime you can smell good. I know that's the idea when you take a shower because, you know, there's soap and water. But the fact that you had a little extra, you really care about how you present yourself.
I'm all good with that. Yeah, no, I mean, you know the typical offensive linemen, they look dirty and they smell dirty. But, you know, I like to be presentable. I like to smell good, look
like
good,
it.
And do all that other stuff.
Yeah, a little metrosexual going on up in there. I like it.
It's all good. You know what happened now? He was the other way until they put him in at fullback last year.
Oh,
and then he thought, I got to dress differently now.
Yeah.
I'm a skilled player.
All right.
I was looking for that touchdown pass from Carson. Just never got called. But I'll give DJ his.
So let me ask you this. The difference in the practicing early as opposed to the normal 2 o'clock here at University of Phoenix Stadium, how different was that for you? Because that's how, you know, Roy Green and I, we grew up doing practices like that early in the morning. How different was it from a physical standpoint for you to get your body going that early?
You know, it's definitely a change, but I think B.A. hit it on the head yesterday when he said our first two games are at 10 o'clock Eastern time, and this is the time that we'll be playing those two games, and you have to get your body right, you have to get your mind right to get up and go play. And I don't think last year, he mentioned last year too that we didn't want a 10 o'clock Eastern game, and that really stuck out. So, I mean, I think everybody took that and put that in their heads and ran with it today, especially after the practice we had yesterday. And I think we were doing good. And, you know, there's still a learning box that we have to get over, but we had a lot better day than what we did yesterday for sure.
What type of things are doing this training camp, you know, being your second year, coming back and being penciled in as one of the guys are going to really count on up front? What are some of the particular things you're working on in this training?
Yeah, you know, just getting my confidence up in this training camp. I mean, going against guys like Frosty and going against Robert and Corey Peters and Josh Morrow, going against those guys. I mean, those are four guys that you'd love to go against and get you ready to go against those other guys on Sundays. And, you know, I'm still working on that technique and getting that technique perfected and doing the things that work for me so I can go out and protect Carson. And I think last year, you know, I think everybody read in the papers that, you know, the offensive line got pretty reamed for getting Carson hit a lot. And that's one thing that we're taking personal this year. And we got to get that going, and we got to protect Carson so he can get the ball in playmakers' hands.
Let's talk about the transition from you. 4 year starter at Missouri, played center, drafted as a center. You got your feet wet at center last season, but you started the final game in L.A. at right guard. You're penciled in, right? I'd say in ink at right guard for this season. I know it's just sliding over a little bit, but from center to right guard, how's that been for you?
You know, I think honestly, center last year helped me tremendously with learning this right guard spot because, you know, being a center, you have to know what everybody on this field has to do or what everybody on this offensive line has to do. And, you know, need to know the mic points and what this triple goes to, what this double goes to, and just certain plays and stuff like that. So that helped me out so much just learning that center spot to where I can move over one spot. Now the technique is different and it's kind of the same different in ways. So, you know, I'm still working on that, and I'm still learning and trying to get better each and every day I step out.
So, Evan, when you think about the fact that you guys have an extra preseason game, you got 5 instead of 4 last year, does that change how you go about and as the offensive line in particular go about in the practices on a daily basis? Because you're actually extending more energy than anybody else in the NFL. Right. You and the Cowboys have more practices. You got more time on the field, that many more opportunities to extend yourself from a physical standpoint. Do you find yourself not pacing yourself, but do you find yourself thinking more about how to take care of yourself, especially now that we're about 48 hours away from game
one? Right, and no doubt, that's huge, is taking care of your body during camp. And, you know, last year I purchased some Normatex. I purchased some stem units to just put on my muscles, put on my legs, just to compress air and just get my legs back underneath me, because, you know, I'm in an unnatural position for most of the day. You know, it's not natural to bend your knees and stop a guy and then try and drive a guy and do all that stuff. So you got to take care of your body. You got to do everything that you need to do. You know, I could be different from you.
Right.
But we could have the same concepts in a way. So it's just taking care of that body. And I think BA really says it too. It's like every time we step out here, you're either exposed or you're getting exposure. And I take that day by day, and I don't want to be exposed. I don't want to get that exposure.
No doubt.
We know you, Ben, as we talked about, you changed positions, so a lot of things are different for you from a physical standpoint. But this training camp overall, what has been the difference from your rookie year to here? And I'm not just talking about you individually, mm-hmm. how it's easier for you, but right. as a team and the concept of the coaching staff and the players, what do you see that's really different?
I think our work ethic, for sure. You go out there, and, you know, last year we were all the talk. Oh, the Cardinals are going to do this. The Cardinals are going to do that. And honestly, that probably got into some guys' head and everything like that. And I think this year, no, you don't hear anything about us. I maybe read something that they saw or projected us going 8-8 or something like that. And I don't think if we have guys like Carson and Larry, and then we got guys like Pat Pete and Frosty and all those guys over there on that other side of the ball, like they're not going to let that happen. That's not going to happen and stuff like that. So we're going to go out there, and we've been battling and being physical with each other each and every day and trying to get each other better on both sides of the ball.
Evan Boehm joining us here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Cardinals starting right guard. Earlier this week on the Doug and Wolf Show on flagship station Arizona Sports 98.7 FM, the general manager Steve Keim talking about our guest here, Evan Boehm.
The two attributes that he has that are really good is he's got really good feet and he's got really strong hands. So his lateral quickness, his ability to take on, and his strength when he gets his hands inside, he's a good player. And he's really grown in this offense mentally. And as you know, coming out, one of his strengths was his toughness. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt that he's a tough physical player.
You hear the comments from the general manager. You got a big smile on your face. What's that mean to you?
Oh, it means a lot. It means that I've earned the trust of these guys. And, you know, my goal is to earn the trust of not only Steve, but Mr. Bidwell as well. And then Goody, to BA, to Carson, to the whole offensive line and to this team, is to earn their trust, to show them that I can go out there and I can do what I do and be good at it. And, you know, I'm still working. I heard the hands inside and stuff like that. And there's some times where you're not perfect and you don't get your hands inside. But, you know, that's my goal every play, is to shoot those hands. But like I said earlier, you're going up against this defensive line that we got. They know what to do. And they got a good coach with Buck, and we got a good coach with Goody. And, you know, just a tough physical battle in the trenches every day.
So, Evan, talk to me about Evan Boehm off the field. And I know you have a lot of, you know, you put a lot of time and energy on your craft, and rightfully so. But when you are away from the game and you just want to get away for a little bit, what does Evan Boehm like to do just to relax for a little bit?
Man, I got golfing lessons this summer.
Golfing
yeah,
lessons?
Yeah.
My dad.
More time on your feet, huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I don't know. But, you know, my dad gave me his hand-me-down clubs that he got for free like 20 years ago. I was like, with my signing bonus, I went out and bought a really nice pair of golf clubs, and we went out and golfed. I went out and golfed a lot this summer. I love watching movies. I love relaxing. I stay off my feet as much as I can, and I love relaxing, watching movies, and I'm a movie buff. I love watching movies.
What's your favorite movie?
Ooh, it's a tie between, if we're going comedy, it's a tie between Dumb and Dumber and Step Brothers.
Wow.
Those two, yeah. I'm Those a big big Will Ferrell fan. I'm
I
a
got you.
Big Will Ferrell fan, so he I don't know, it's just his comedy is my type of comedy.
Did
so.
We just become best friends?
Yes.
I just heard all these accolades about how big and tough and strong and physical, and these guys here are talking about Will Ferrell movies.
Oh.
I'm looking for some action flick, you know, some knock them down, beat them up, drag them out the house.
No, we do enough of that in the trenches. You need that comedy whenever
okay.
you can.
Exactly.
Speaking of the trenches and what's – I mean, it's a lot of the same faces on that offensive line, just kind of different places.
Right.
Your name as well. We talked about the switch to right guard, Jared Valdir, moving from the left side to the mm-hmm. right side. But having him to your right, how much is he a help to you on that offensive line?
Oh, I mean, playing next to Jared and playing next to AQ, playing next to those two guys just – I mean, it's unbelievable. You have two smart football players that know what's going on and know what they're doing and what they're talking about. So I sit there and I just want to listen. I just sit there and close my mouth and just open my ears and just listen to what they have to say and try and be there when they need me to be there and do the things that I need to do to make them successful.
So when you've been in the trenches and we've been talking about tough physical play, one guy that has really flashed on a lot of people's radar – it's Robert Campeche.
Oh, yeah.
He's having himself quite the start
yeah.
to the training camp. Just talk about what has been different in year one. Obviously, he didn't get to practice
right.
a lot. He had the high ankle sprain last year. But just what, in your opinion, has changed from year one to year two?
I think this goes for everybody that came in last year. And I'm going to start off with the confidence level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the confidence level of Robert has skyrocketed up. And, you know, not a lot of people know this, but when I was at center at Mizzou my junior year, I played Rob his freshman year.
Okay.
Or sophomore year, something like that. And, you know, we had pretty good battles in the trenches right there, but at Ole Miss Mizzou game. But, you know, he's come up here, and, I mean, he's physical. He's strong. We lift together. We run together. We do all that stuff together. But when we go out on the field, we make each other better. Mm-hmm. And that's good. You know, some days that – He'll get me, and the other days I'll get him, and it's just a back and forth battle. And he's a guy that can hit you with the speed,
mm-hmm.
but then he's a guy that's so powerful that he can just put his head down and just the long arm you right back to the quarterback. And mm-hmm. he's getting comfortable with the play calls. He's getting comfortable with what he's got, and he's learning how to use what he has. And right. I mean, he's going to be a special player for us.
Evan, we appreciate a couple of the minutes. I know it's difficult when the schedule gets adjusted on you, but spending a couple of moments with us here in the press box, appreciate it. We'll let you get back to the day and get ready for the Hall of Fame game. Not sure how much you'll play, but at least you'll be on the dressed and ready to go.
Yes, sir.
And we'll go cologne shopping, brother, because I like the way you do your thing. You
know? Yes, sir. No doubt. You just let me know.
Yeah, all right.
Did he just say go cologne shopping?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
Hey,
I just said we became best friends.
Oh, right. Exactly.
I'm thinking of a reality show or something. That azcardinals.com can follow B-Train and Evan Bame as they go cologne shopping at Fashion Square Mall somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Growing is sexy, brother. Growing is sexy.
Appreciate Arizona Cardinals starting right guard Evan Bame joining us here. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report as we broadcast live from University of Phoenix Stadium, all presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. We'll talk defense on the other side here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
I can't wait to get this game started. This is who we work all week for. Just come out here. Let our head on and just play football. It's definitely going to be a good one. Ah! Savage season, dog. It's about attitude. Let's play like that. Wildcat, Wildcat! Hey, hey, me and you. Zone it, zone it. Ah! I just want to fight. Yeah! Yeah! They couldn't beat us on our off day. Did y'all really think y'all was going to win? Come on, bro.
Well, that sounds like an NFL football player. Wired with Tyrann Mathieu here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report as we welcome you back. Craig Rea, Leroy Green, and Bertrand Berry. Really appreciate Evan Bame joining us in our last segment as we come to you here from University of Phoenix Stadium, Cardinals training camp. As we continue our coverage here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, we do it each and every Tuesday, 11 to noon on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network. But Tyrann Mathieu, the one player, Roy Green, that was singled out and praised by the head coach Bruce Arians after yesterday's practice that he called sluggish. and a few choice words, but it was the Honey Badger, in which he said, yes, he had three or four interceptions and looked very, very good.
And I guarantee it was not a surprise to any of us. If we were not here, not in town, not even around, and someone give you a call and say, who do you think, the way things went, but there was one player that stood out and was hustling and giving his all during training camp, you'd probably say the Honey Badger, you know, because that's just been his attitude from day one. He's a guy who, as you hear on the montage, you can be around him for a very short time and understand how much he loves being out there, how much he loves competing, how proud of a competitor he is. And just generally what you get with him when he's healthy, that's what we've always gotten. He's been a guy who's always made the plays, who did the extra things on the football field, who did some things away from the football field to better himself. So that's just been his attitude from day one, so it's not surprising to me.
A couple more interceptions early at practice today, but the key phrase that Roy used, when he's healthy, and that's been the topic and the one thing, it's like an asterisk next to his name, B-Train, when you talk about Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, he's outstanding when he's healthy. Last year he was not healthy, only played in 10 games. That was a career low. But if what we're seeing so far, and I realize it's early, we got a long time before the season opens, but it has been a gradual process here for Tyrann Mathieu so far in training camp, and it seems like he's, I wouldn't say reached his peak, you don't want to get that to at this point, but he is on an upward slope.
He is on an upward slope, and I think that is great news for the defense as a whole, because when he is right and he's healthy, he definitely makes everybody else around him that much better. He's so dynamic and versatile, and you don't know where he's going to line up. He gives you that element that you're not necessarily able to lock in and say, okay, well, 32 is here. Well, no, he could be on the line of scrimmage. He can be as a linebacker. He can be, you know, anywhere. And so the fact that he gives you that ability to really change the look of the defense, I think that's the one thing that you didn't see last year, and maybe that was why the defense maybe took a step back, because when your playmaker is not there and he's not right, then everybody else has to kind of find their way and try to compensate for the lack of Tyrann Mathieu.
The one big thing with Tyrann Mathieu, it all begins with confidence, and meeting with reporters on Monday, yeah, that confidence is coming back.
It's getting there. You know, my confidence is slowly coming back. You know, I'm moving around better. You know, and I think my teammates are challenging me. Pat is challenging me more. My coaches are challenging me to kind of take it to the next level. You know, obviously I got great expectations for myself.
And I think you get that confidence with each practice, Roy, especially if you're getting hands on the ball, or in his case, not just hands, but interceptions and taking the football away from the offense. And I think it's big because we all know when he is Tyrann Mathieu that this defense plays at a different level than at any other point.
Yeah, you know, and when I think about confidence, you know, there's two types of it. You know, and I think that when Tyrann talks about confidence, I think he's saying confidence in my body, that it's going to respond. And that's where the confidence comes from, because we know he has a lot of confidence in his ability. He knows what he can do. But he has confidence that when he makes certain movements on the field, that his knees are going to hold up, you know, that he doesn't have to hesitate anymore. And with that boosts his confidence in his play. But more than anything, it's the confidence that his body is going to do what he asks it to do. Not like me when I'm on the basketball court and I know I'm going to make this move to the left, and when it's time to finish, I know what to do, but my body won't do it.
Yeah, you're going to fold up like a cheap tent.
Yeah, it's a little bit different there.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because I hadn't thought about it in that regards, but yeah, you want to make sure that you can do what you can do, and if your knee is 100%, we know last season he was slowed out of the gate because he was still coming back from that ACL injury, and then the shoulder injury mid-season cost him a handful of games as well. But B-Train, when you get on that practice field, yeah, your mind says let's go, but is the body going to respond? And maybe right now Mathieu is feeling physically great and everything is working the way it's supposed to.
And I think for most people, the biggest challenge coming off of an injury is the mental aspect. I think physically the body, and you rehab, you do all the things that you need to do to get your body 100% and back to playing shape, but I think it's the mental thing that keeps people from really taking that extra step and feeling like they felt before the injury. And with Tyrann, the fact that he's not even wearing a brace, that's a mental thing. It's not necessarily a physical thing, because the doctors and trainers have done everything that they needed to do to make sure structurally the knee is okay. But he's going to have to trust it, and that's something that only Tyron can control. Nobody else can give him that trust. He has to have that trust inwardly to know that when he decides to jump this route or he decides to go in and make that tackle, that his body is going to be able to back him up, because the game for him is the same game. He knows what to do. He knows where to be, but will his body go along with the process? That's going to be something that only he can answer in due time.
How does head coach Bruce Arians know when Matthew is himself? Well, it's when his mouth starts moving.
He was getting interceptions and he finally started talking a little trash. That was nice. Yeah, he's back. You know, this was the first practice he really looked like himself.
When you hear Tyron Matthew on the football field, Roy, and whether it's barking out plays like we heard on that segment of Wired to get in the defense set, or when he's talking trash to the opponent, whether his own team or a different team, that you know is when he is himself, because that confidence is there. Because you can, I feel good. I'm going to let everyone know I'm feeling good.
Yeah, and you love it. You know, as a Cardinal fan, as one that wants this, you know, this team to be great, we understand that there are certain guys that we have to have performing at a certain level for that to happen. And I think that Tyron is one of those guys without question. And when he walks around with his chest out just a little bit and with a little swagger and starts talking a little trash, you know, he's feeling good, and it permeates throughout the entire football team, I think. You know, they generally follow his lead. You remember a couple of years ago when he got hurt, you know, doing that stress drive. I mean, the way the players reacted, it was like, oh, my goodness, you know. Mm-hmm. You understand how respected he is in that locker room and how they feed off of what he does. So, yeah, it's good to see him bouncing around, making plays, but as B.A. said, it's good to hear him, period.
Yeah, and I love hearing him talk, but I most importantly love hearing him just give out that primal scream. He just screams. it's like from the belly. Like, he just screams as loud as he can. When he's doing that, you know he's feeling like the Badger.
And he's playing up near the line of scrimmage already this season, or this training camp, I should say. We've seen him on the field at the same time with Tyvon Branch and also Antoine Bethea be training. And all of a sudden, you've got, you know, two veterans and Tyron Matthew, who is a veteran in his own mind. But now all of a sudden that secondary, yeah, there's still a question at cornerback opposite number 21. But at safety, you've got three quality guys that you know defensively can get the job done.
They can get the job done. And most importantly, they know where to be and how to get everybody else lined up. And I think that's the one thing that you saw the uncertainty last year, and they weren't able to play as fast as they had been in previous years. When this team knows what to do and knows where to be, they can be as dynamic and versatile as defense as you'll find in the NFL. And I think having those type of veterans only enhances that overall IQ that we saw with that defense. And if they are playing smart and playing fast, look out.
It's good that you brought up that point also, because, you know, we understand last year, mental errors. There was about three huge mental errors that cost us ball games, and it was because of miscommunications, you know, back in the secondary. But with those veterans there, you know, and Tyron is a veteran because he's a guy who's been a signal caller. He knows what's going on. He studies in and out. But with those other two guys there, all of that knowledge back there, as B-Train says, will get guys in the right position to make plays. If you're not in position, you can't make a play. But it would get them in the right position to make plays. And because, you know, in my opinion, we're still one of the more talented football teams in all of football. If you put talented guys in position to make plays, generally they're going to do very well.
Subscribe to Arizona Cardinals Podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. Listen to your favorite shows on the go, like Cardinals Underground, The Big Red Rage, and, of course, this show, the Cardinals Red Sea Report. Halfway done here on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Shotgun formation, Vic with a deep drop. Pump fake. Vic now throwing. End zone up in the air and intercepted. It's picked off in the end zone. Tremont Williams has just won the game for the Green Bay Packers.
Ryan out of the pocket, throwing on the move, and it's intercepted, picked off. It's Tremont Williams busting through. Williams to the 40, to the 30, it's a pick six. Williams takes it the distance. Tremont Williams, the run back for the touchdown. He's done it again.
Now for the Green Bay Packers on their road and subsequent victory in the Super Bowl back in 2010. The newest addition to the Arizona Cardinals, veteran cornerback Tremont Williams, joined the team Well, he was signed on Sunday, joined the team after practice on Monday, on the field earlier on Tuesday. As we talk about it here on the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers, visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you. Craig Riolu, Roy Green, Bertrand Berry here from University of Phoenix Stadium where the Cardinals are holding training camp. He worked out, Roy, on Thursday, signed on Sunday. We were talking with him in the locker room on Monday. You know, what? You know, how long did it take? You know, why did it take that long? And he joked, "The Cardinals did not want me to leave the building after his workout on Thursday, but he had to go back home and discuss things with his family, and finally they agreed to terms on Sunday." And he is, at 34 years old, another veteran added to this roster, but certainly that cornerback position opposite Patrick Peterson needs to be addressed, and here's another audition potential.
Well, you know, when I hear this signing, it makes me, well, I would think that what's going on is they're really not satisfied at the right corner position right now. We did have an injury at the cornerback position, but the two guys that we talked about who were going to be battling for that position, have been mostly healthy throughout camp, been lining up, getting their reps, and to bring in another corner, a veteran corner, you know, at that position, makes me think that maybe they're not quite satisfied. Also, Williams is a guy who can play both positions, something that we talked about throughout the draft and throughout the offseason, that most of the guys that the Cardinals pinpointed and have brought in to be on this football team are very versatile. They can play more than one position. So he's a guy who's shown that he's not afraid of the spotlight. He's played big in big games. He still has some left, evident by his workout and signing as of Sunday, but his workout last Thursday. So I'm looking forward to see what he can bring to the table. It'd be very, very interesting now, the dynamic that's going on at that right cornerback position seems to get, it gets funnier and funnier to me. I really don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, the Cardinals began training camp with Justin Bethel and Brandon Williams. Bethel, obviously, at the starter or the top of the depth chart, and then a little wrinkle thrown in when Bethel ended up getting hurt, hyperextending his knee. It was Ronald Zamort who was running with the first team for a couple of practices, and then Zamort got hurt, tore his ACL. He's done for the season. Bethel is back practicing, but still not full speed, so they are very thin at that cornerback position, B-Train. Eli Buka, by the way, was back at practice as well this week. But it's good to have, because you want depth, you want just-in-case scenarios. We ran through this a year ago with the Arizona Cardinals. Alan Ball, Mike Jenkins. Oh, hey, look, let's go get Marcus Cooper. He becomes an alternate on the Pro Bowl team and signs big money with the Chicago Bears. So not going to say that's happening here again, but at least it's a situation that the Cardinals are familiar with.
Definitely familiar with, but at the same time, I think it's frustrating because at this point you want to have some consistency opposite Patrick Peterson. You don't want to have to keep going the waiver wire or going free agents to try to come in and fill in a gap for a season. You want somebody that you can have that can really man down that side and really develop something with Patrick Peterson for a few years and not have to worry about this position season after season. And I know with the Marcus Cooper situation, he did what he needed to do. He took the money. You can't begrudge him that. But you would have thought that with Brandon Williams and Justin Bethel that they would have had a better stranglehold on the job thus far. And to have to bring in somebody else, it's disappointing. And I know for Steve Keim and Bruce Arians, they're not going to hesitate. We've seen with all of the transactions that they've made in their 4 years as head coach and general manager, they're not afraid to find pieces that they think can come in and fit and really help this team get to where they want to be.
Head coach Bruce Arians had wanted general manager Steve Keim to bring in a veteran at that cornerback position. That has finally happened. Coach, excited about Williams' addition.
Tremont he's got a pro resume and has been an outstanding player for a long time, a very versatile player, can play outside, inside, safety, a very smart player. So we're really excited about adding him to our team.
And that pro resume, a 10-year vet, 8 seasons with the Green Bay Packers, won a Super Bowl. The last 2 years, though, with the Cleveland Browns, in which he won a total of four games in two seasons. His 30 career interceptions ranks fifth among active NFL players. And when he met the media, he talked about the Arizona Cardinals and always having an eye on this team in Arizona.
Every year, man, I look at this team as one of the teams that's always a piece or two away from winning it. And I know in this league, it's hard to win. You get a team like this who lose a lot of close games, and then the next season they win 13 games. If you can find that consistency, if you can find that right piece, then I think you can get it over the top. That's what I saw, you know, when I came out of the season and looked at this team.
Now, he wouldn't get specific. We asked, or he brought it up, Roy, that there were a handful of teams that were interested in bringing him on board here during training camp. He had a big smile on his face, just said, you know, a handful of teams were interested, but he wanted to join the Cardinals because of one thing, winning, something he did not do a whole lot in Cleveland.
Well, you know what? It really gets you excited to play football when you leave a situation like he just left. You know, going from what we talked about, he's won a Super Bowl before. You know, Green Bay has been a team that, you know, has won quite a few ball games during his tenure there. And then to go to Cleveland and to experience what he experienced over the last 2 years, you know, he's a guy who's going to be very, very motivated, very, very excited to come back and just have an opportunity to win ball games. And it makes a big difference. And I think a lot of guys around the league now, as we see, you know, this Cardinal organization, the changes they've made over the last 5 years, you know, with starting at the top with Michael and Coach Aaron and Steve Kim coming in here, players want to come here. They see that there's a good thing happening here. As B-Train said, yes, they're a team who is not afraid to make changes, but guys have realized that they're always trying to improve. And as a player, you want people that are committed to winning, and guys outside of it see what's going on. A particular guy who comes from Cleveland, you know, they see what goes on, and he has an opportunity to come and play. And he talked about a couple pieces away, and of course, in his mind, he thinks, I'm that piece. They're looking for a cornerback. I'm a cornerback. I'm that piece. So, yeah, it's going to be a good situation, you know, for him, and a good one for us to watch. I'm going to watch this battle at that right corner very, very closely, you know, throughout this training camp and see how that transpires.
And both of you know this, players talk. And Carlos Dansby and Tremont Williams, former teammates in Cleveland. Dansby in the locker room now with the Cardinals, back for his third stint. Word gets around. I mean, the biggest recruiting tool for the Arizona Cardinals are the guys in that locker room.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, too, is to win and to have that type of success that we've seen on the field for this team in the last 4 years. And that's the one thing that vets are definitely attracted to first and foremost. You want to get the money, but you also want to win at that stage.
Arizona Cardinals single-game tickets are on sale now. Visit Ticketmaster.com or the Cardinals box office to select your seats. More defensive talk on the other side. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report here from University of Phoenix Stadium on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
Comes into it soccer style, hits it high and deep again. Back deep is Roy Green in the end zone. 6 yards deep, he's going to run it out. He's out to the 10, turns it to the left side at the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. He may go all the way. He's at the 40, he's at the 20, he's at the 10. He is in for the touchdown. Roy Green from 106 yards.
Well, there's got to be a reason why we're playing this again, unless Roy over here kind of hijacked the show, but
hacked it in, baby.
You know it's old when you hear the music sound like that, though. I'm just saying. You know.
We offer our congratulations to Roy Green going into the St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame on September 15th.
Here.
Mike Martz, and Pete Weber of Pro Bowler fame. So a very distinguished group, and congratulations to you, Roy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Looking forward to going back to St. Louis once again. And particularly, I've never had an opportunity to speak for any length of time with Coach Mike Martz. And he's one of the guys who I've always wanted to talk to about offensive football. Mm. So I'm going to be bugging him for at least 10, 15 minutes about some of his philosophies. And offense, and so it's going to be very interesting to go back and do that, see some old friends, and enjoy myself in St. Louis But I'll miss you guys for sure.
Yeah, no, you won't. Yeah, I got a few choice words for Coach Mike Morris because, you know, he did me wrong. So we'll just leave that for another
one. Well, you want me to take a message?
I don't want you to take this one because it wouldn't be one that would go over very well.
Well, just call and leave the voicemail on my phone and I'll give it to him. I said, listen to this, Coach.
St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony on September 15th. Of course, this weekend on Saturday, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony with one of the all-time greats to wear an Arizona Cardinals uniform, Kurt Warner, will be inducted on Saturday. Of course, Thursday, the Cardinals and Cowboys in the Hall of Fame game. 5 p.m. is the kickoff, and that is a 1:30 pregame coverage here on the Arizona Cardinals radio network. We heard Coach Arians earlier after practice. No starters will play. Drew Stanton will not play. It's going to be Blaine Gabbert quarterbacking the first half, Trevor Knight in the second half. Now, he says no starters, but there are, I'm guessing there will be maybe a couple guys that are penciled in as starters, but we'll see the field. Among them, the rookie linebacker, inside linebacker, Hassan Reddick. This will be our first opportunity to see him in a Cardinals uniform and on the field. He's been a sponge so far, soaking up everything from his position coach, Larry Foote, to the guy that lines up next to him and Carlos Dansby. Here's head coach Bruce Arians on Reddick.
Unbelievable athlete, extremely serious about it, over serious, matter of fact, too conscientious. But when he turns it loose, it's extremely impressive to watch.
He does not want to make mistakes on the field, B-Train. That is why he is maybe too studious, was a description that Coach Arians has also used with Reddick. He does not want to be, not forget about the accountability board, he just does not want to be any mistakes to where it affects the defense or whatever. But he is, I think, right now probably ahead of the curve of where the Cardinals might have expected him.
Yeah, he's doing what he needs to do, and you want a guy that cares too much as opposed to a guy that doesn't care enough. And for Bruce Arians, he knows he can mold Hassan Reddick into the type of player that he needs him to be and to reach his potential here in the NFL. And I think for Hassan Reddick, he's going to really lean on a Carlos Dansby. He's going to rely on Larry Foote to really calm him down, really let the game slow down. And this is typical for rookies. Rookies, their heads are swimming. You get this big playbook, and even though you've had OTAs and minicamp, it's still not the same as when you put the pads on. You're having to see it real time. You're going to have to go through that adjustment period. So he is right on course to being the player that they had hoped he would be. And as long as he is putting in the time in the film room and studying his playbook, things are going to work out eventually.
And we've seen the Cardinals with first-round draft picks, Roy, over the last couple of years kind of ease these guys in, some by nature of the position, sometimes by injury. But here we've got Reddick getting thrown in because Dayon Buchanan is on the sideline. So he's right there and is expected to start probably week one right next to Dansby.
And, you know, this is a great, great opportunity for him, obviously, to get a chance to get in there. He has an extra preseason game to get prepared. And I like the fact that, you know, he's taking it very, very seriously, and he wants to know everything about it. But he also has to understand that there was a lot of ability that got him here. So he's got to be able to loosen up. And once he understands, you know, the playbook, there are certain things that once you see it, you got to go play football. You know, you don't want to be too, well, I see it, but maybe, you know, so because there's that, you know, just that half a second. That's the difference between a big play for the defense or a big play for the opposition. So, you know, we want more for our defense with Reddick on the football field than opposition.
Yeah, don't think, just react. And right now I think that is a slow process for Cardinals rookies, including the second-round safety, Buda Baker, who's expected to see a lot of time this week, or on Thursday, I should say. And Baker meeting the media earlier in training camp, talking about all the studying that he's been doing.
It's a lot more because this is a job, you know, high school or college, you got to study for maybe an exam you have and all that type of stuff. But now my exams are, you know, football. So it's definitely exciting to know I only have to think about football. That time where you're tired and you might want to take a little nap or watch TV, that's when you lay down and watch film or watch, look at your playbook. So always into my playbook.
Studying for an exam versus studying for your job, B-Train. You're more recent than Roy, and certainly I got no experience whatsoever. But as far as in the studying in college I did, you kind of forget about it after a day or two. But in the NFL, you better remember that week in and week out.
Yeah, you better remember, because now the stakes are much higher. And when college, you're talking about getting a good grade. Now you're talking about continuing to get paid. And so when you add that element into it, it's definitely ratcheted up a little bit as far as the seriousness of it and the importance of it. And I think for Buda Baker and Hassan Reddick, they understand that this is the big leagues now. This isn't college football where you were the big fish. You're a small fish now trying to become a big fish. And the only way that you can do that is, one, know what to do, and then go out and have the ability to do it. And that's what putting the time in the playbook is all about, knowing what to do. And then once you have the opportunities, taking full advantage.
B-Train's not fooling me. The more sacks he made, the less he studied. He's not fooling me. I know.
I know
how it works in Notre Dame.
Look, I spell sacks, $ACKS, brother. So trust me, it's all about, you know, getting paid. But, you know,
yeah.
I wanted to study that craft as well.
You had a playbook. Roy, what, I mean, was the playbook when you played as extensive as it is now, maybe more so? Or what, is it?
Probably.
You ran three routes.
Probably about the same. But, you know, the thing about it is, you know, how
– run straight, run left, run right.
The routes have been the same for years.
Go route, curl route, out route. That was the extent of your playbook.
Oh, come on now. Hey, I just want you to understand this. This is the greatest lesson I ever learned. We had a huge playbook. Everybody does. The Washington Redskins won a Super Bowl, right, with 13 plays offensively. That's what they ran.
Keep it simple, baby.
That's it. But they perfected those plays. They moved guys around, and they understood, hey, we're going to be as good as we possibly can at these plays. 13 plays. So it's not about the extensive playbooks. It's not about trying to fool people and trick people. It's about, as I mentioned earlier, you put your best players in a position to make plays, and they're going to do it for you.
Oh, I could know what the play is, and B-Train, I know I got to block you, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop you from from getting around me or through me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're talking about they only ran 13 plays. Well, it helped to have a lot of Hall of Famers on that roster, too. So, you know, when you have the better players, things are going to tend to go your way more than not.
And that's the biggest adjustment for these kids coming out of college, because nowadays they don't huddle. Offensive linemen don't get in a three-point stance. Jeez. The quarterback doesn't call plays. You look to the sideline, see a card, and then all of a sudden you're looking and throwing the ball or handing the ball off.
Completely different game than what you see in college, and that's unfortunate, because those guys are almost having to learn an entirely different sport.
Different. Very, very different. But, you know, I'm glad that we got some guys. And we generally do. That's what Steve Keim, they do a great job of drafting high-character guys, guys who love the game, guys that they know that they're going to put football first. And I think that's why we've been so successful, you know, over the tenure of Keim and Arian since they've been here. It's because, you know, they're getting certain kind of players that come here. You know, we're talking about guys that's, as B-Train say, we would rather have borderline guys than we have one guys who want it too bad.
Those young players will be on full display on Thursday, 5 p.m. kickoff, 1:30 is the pregame coverage. We'll be back with you next week. It's the Cardinals Red Sea Report on the Arizona Cardinals Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Cardinals Red Sea Report, presented by your Arizona Mercedes-Benz dealers. Visit ArizonaMB.com to find the dealer nearest you.
Great interception by the Badger. Tyrann Mathieu stepped in front.
The Cardinals Red Sea Report is brought to you by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown! John Brown!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.